Clearly, God decided we needed another liturgical Sunday in white last week, so we were not here. We are back in green in ordinary time this week and have a couple of announcements this morning. If you wanted giving envelopes, there are some giving envelopes out in the narthex. We've gone away from having specifically dated ones because most of us don't give every week anymore. We kind of give monthly or things like that. So if you need some envelopes, we've got some boxes of those out there. They're just labeled for 2019, so you can pick those up. Prayer group is meeting on Tuesday. Book study is meeting on Wednesday. Sharks is as well, as is choir. Gala is out sick this morning, so we're not getting what we would normally get on the weekend before Super Bowl Sunday, which is a lot of cute little kids reminding you that people are hungry, even as we're spending lots of money on commercials and buffalo wings and things like that. Super Bowl is next Sunday. The Super Bowl of Caring is as well, so please bring a non-perishable food donation for the food pantry. Put some money in the plate. That will also go to them and help supplement things. One of the side effects of cash giving versus perishable item giving, our ability to buy food through the USDA, which is still functioning, means that we get about $9 worth of food for every dollar you could give us cash. If you gave us a dollar's worth of product, that same dollar would buy $9 worth of product with us buying it. So it is very, as much as we love to see the stacks of food in terms of eliminating hunger, cash is king, as it is in many places in our lives. That's next week. Our annual congregational meeting will follow that. I'm sure we have some other announcements. What other announcements? Susie's got one. Tom's got one.
Actually, I have two. Number one is when you came in and were greeted by Jean today, you may have received, we kind of run short, but you may have received a personal contact card. This is on behalf of the health ministry. We did this many years ago. And we felt like we needed to update it. And it gives information that we can keep in a place, a safe place in the office, where we can pull up in case, you know, God forbid, there's any kind of medical emergency for any one of us here, then we will have information that might be helpful for any responders, EMT or whatever, to know how to respond quickly and effectively to whatever's going on with us. So we thought it would be good to keep it here at the church. So take some time and look at it and fill it out. And then you can just bring it back and put it, you can bring it back and maybe give it
To Lee.
To Lee, okay, because there's some information you may not want to just have shared. Okay, the second thing is, I've got my own Vanna here. Okay. Also,
Vanna's a work in progress.
The Spiritual Life Committee has updated the prayer journal. It's also been something that we did last about 10 years ago. So in it is the correct directory of all of our people, friends, and members here, and how to contact them. There's also a place to put the prayer sheet, as you can see, that will fit into this three-ring binder that you can keep and pray for the individuals during the week. And there's extra pages in here for anybody to write their own. So these are out there. We've got about 10. If we need more, just put your name on. They're out on the table in a box in the narthex. If you already have one that you've been using, we have some extra copies of updated directories alone. Now, they're not, yes, they're there. They're not punched, but we can get them punched for you. And then you can also update your own prayer journal. Thank you.
So Tom, Marna, then we'll get back there.
Keep February 23rd in your calendar as a indoor work day. We had originally planned 1 week earlier, but the American Medical Mission is having a meeting here on the Saturday before that. So the 23rd, we're planning an indoor work day. We've got a number of little projects that need taken care of and some help with. So just put it on the calendar. It's not in the bulletin yet.
Marna, in front of you.
The Promise is a mission church that is right uptown across from CVS in the hub there. If you have a blanket that you can donate, they are in great need of blankets.
Okay. I saw Sophia in the back corner. Susan?
What Susie forgot to mention was that there's a new bulletin board up on the Health Ministries bulletin board about healthy veins. So take a look at that. I also, I want to stand for this. I received this book from a friend, and I've read it and marked a couple of sections that give you an idea for we carry each other's burdens, ways we can do that. I'm going to put this out on where the books are out there, and anybody may pick it up and read the whole thing or just read the sections that are marked if you like, but it gives good ideas of how we can care for each other. And since we've had many, many things happen in the last little while, I thought this would be appropriate.
I saw Sophie back here. Sophie. Dave would remind you to sign and pass the friendship pads down the rows.
I brought my cookie sheet so you guys can look at it, since I'm a Girl Scout, and you can look at it after church.
And by look at it, she means buy cookies. Do we have any other announcements this morning? Let's worship God.
Morning. Please join me into the call to worship. You traveled through Galilee, teaching in the synagogues. You announced the good news of the kingdom and healed every disease and sickness among the people. News about you spread throughout Syria. People brought to you all those who had various kinds of diseases, those in pain, those possessed demons, those with epilepsy,
and those who were paralyzed, and you healed them.
Large crowds followed you from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from the areas beyond the Jordan River.
And now we have followed you there, that we may follow you out into the world.
Amen. The hymn of praise is number 172, Blessed Are They.
Thank you.
The grace of God overflows for us through Christ Jesus, who came into the world to save sinners. Please join me in the prayer of confession. You speak to us of blessing and of being blessed. You speak to us of meekness and mourning. You speak to us of hungering and thirsting for righteousness, and we turn away from being mourning or merciful, for we have learned those are words of weakness, and we would rather be strong. Christ, whose strength is made perfect in weakness, transform us as you transform the world, through mercy, forgiveness, and steadfastness. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life has gone, a new life has begun. Know that you are forgiven and be at peace.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
brings us to our first lesson today. We're continuing through Matthew's gospel. We're at the fifth chapter. Our call to worship sets the stage for how we got here. Jesus has been traveling through the countryside and is getting famous. He's healing people, he's curing people, he's doing all sorts of miraculous things and teaching, and now the crowd has followed him. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will the kids come join me down front? Morning. Now, most of the verses that I just read start with the same word. Did you hear one word repeated over and over again? What was it?
Blessed.
Blessed. What does that mean? It means you're blessed. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean we're sneezing a lot? No? What does it mean? What's a blessing? You're looking at me very confused, like Silas. What's a blessing? Like God bless you, right? And what are we really saying when we say God bless you? Trilby sneezes, and if she sneezed right now, she'd probably have 60 or 70 people say bless you simultaneously. What are we really saying when we say bless you? We're saying God be good to you, right? And God give you gifts, and God look after you, and God make you well, particularly if you've just sneezed. These blessings that Jesus talks about in this Sermon on the Mount don't always match up with what we want. Blessed are the peacemakers. How many of you know peacemakers? You know any peacemakers? Yeah? Is it easy work?
Sometimes.
Sometimes?
Not most of the time.
Not
most of the time it's not easy.
Most of the time it's not easy. At night it's easy. Okay, I'll keep that in mind. What kind of blessing do you think a peacemaker really wants?
People to stop fighting.
How easy is it to get people to stop fighting?
Pretty hard.
Pretty hard, right? Well, Jesus tells us that their blessing is that they will be called children of God, but that's hard work to do, right? If you go back and look at these scriptures later, all of these things are hard things to do. Everything Jesus is blessing is hard stuff. So, I want you to think about what kind of blessings you've been given and what kind of hard stuff they might have been given to you for, okay? You guys pray with me? God, Jesus tells us things that we're not always ready to hear, and he asks us to do hard things. He asks us to love our neighbor as ourselves. He tells us that blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and blessed are the peacemakers. And those are hard things to do and be. God, help us to discern the blessings you have gifted us with, and help us to not be afraid to use them in hard places and at hard times. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, guys. Friends, our next hymn is number 804, Rejoice Ye Pure in Heart. Seated. Pick up right at the end of those blesseds with a blessed that is tough to hear. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad. For your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth have passed away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. I'm going to tell you something that may surprise you here. In 3 years of public ministry and in four gospels covering something like 80 chapters of the Bible, Jesus gives two sermons, and they're probably the same sermon. This is the Sermon on the Mount. Luke chapter 6 is the Sermon on the Plain. They overlap almost entirely. We preachers often get accused of having only one sermon. Well, we're in good company. But this is not a sermon you would want to gather to hear. Okay? Jesus has the people following him. He has been doing miracles, been casting out demons, healing the paralyzed, healing the sick, and they're following him with good reason. And he goes outside of town and sets up on a hill and begins to teach. And we get this long list of blessings that, blessings are good, right? And we like blessings, right? We're a big fan of blessings. When you sat down to raise your kids, how many of you said, I want to raise a meek one? Not intentionally, right? Yeah. How many meek people do we have in the room? Here's a hint. If you raise your hand immediately, you're not meek. Jean's raising her hand. Anybody want to put Jean in the meek category over here? There is a huge challenge in this sermon because this sermon is in direct contrast to how most of us live and hope to live. Which is exactly what it was for the people who came out on the hillside. They were looking for a Messiah who was going to be a strong figure, a military leader, a political figure, somebody who was going to knock the Romans off their block, kick them out of town, and set things up the way it was supposed to be. So imagine you've followed this guy who's doing all these things that have to be God things, and he tells you, blessed are the meek. I did that thing that is the last crutch of preachers. I looked up meek in the dictionary. Here's your list of synonyms. Patient, long-suffering, forbearing, resigned, gentle, quiet, shy, retiring, reverent, peaceful, peaceable, docile, mild, demure, modest, humble, lowly, diffident, unassuming, self-effacing, unpretentious, submissive, yielding, unresistant, obedient, compliant, tame, biddable, tractable, acquiescent, deferential, weak, timid, frightened, spineless, spiritless, weak-kneed, wimpish. How many of you say, I want to be one of those when I grow up? The example they give is the wimpish weak-kneedness of our politicians in the dictionary, just so you know. How many of you want to be meek? Got one. At the same time, we talk about our need to submit ourselves to Christ, right? That was our Sunday school lesson that got wiped out by the ice that we kind of sped through this morning. But it's fully embedded in this morning's Sunday school lesson as well, which was the Christ hymn from Philippians, that Jesus emptied himself, that he became human, even as a slave. There's some contrast between what we hear about Jesus and how we try to get through life. And we hear all of it in this passage. Blessed are the peacemakers. How many of you have ever tried to make peace? How many of you have ever actually made peace? So in our house growing up, you know, there was this thing. There's two kids, and there's always one piece of dessert left. Do you guys know this dilemma? And so the way my mother, with the wisdom of Solomon and probably like thousands of generations of mothers before her, well, no, the way thousands of mothers before her had done it was, fine, you can't do it, I'll eat it. was you cut and you pick. Who's really happy in that scenario? Mom, right? But like, you sit there and you try to get really close and you try to decide, do you like more icing? Which half of the cookie has more chocolate chips in it? And you try to cut, but then the other person gets to pick. Who's really happy at the end of the day? Nobody. Right? Because peacemaking involves compromise. And it's hard work, and it ends up with a broken cookie. How many of us really want to compromise? It's really not our favorite thing, is it? It's actually almost become a bad word to compromise because you're not standing your ground, you're not standing on principles, you're not standing for anything, you're just getting pushed around. Well, getting pushed around is what the meek do, right? And theirs is the kingdom of God. There's this huge challenge in this one sermon that Jesus gives to say the world doesn't do it the way God does it. But we get pretty stuck on the way the world does it. There's a trap here, and we fall right into it. We're good at it. We're good at falling into the trap. And there's another piece of it. We've got all these long lists of blessings. How many of you want to be poor in spirit? Want to be considered poor in spirit? How many of you want to mourn? We've already done meek. How many of you hunger and thirst for righteousness? And we found one that maybe hits us. Merciful? How many of you can say with a straight face that you are pure in heart? Peacemakers. Persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. How many of you want to sign up for that? I mean, if you've been in the comments section on the internet, you know exactly what that looks like. These are not the blessings we want to sign up for, are they? These are blessings that come with work, that come with a lot of work. If you're going to hunger and thirst for righteousness, what comes with that? What?
Hunger and thirst.
Hunger and thirst, yeah. The sense that you're never quite satisfied, that things aren't quite what they should be or could be or are supposed to be, and probably you're that person who always speaks up for the underdog. And that's never incredibly popular, is it? I mean, it's like being a Rams fan in New Orleans this week or a Patriots fan any day of the week. All of this blessing language, it's so easy to get encapsulated with this list of blessings that comes from Jesus. if we go back, you turn the pages of your Bible back, all the way to Abraham, there's a piece in the covenant God makes with Abraham that Abraham and his offspring and his family will be blessed. But it doesn't really stop there. That's you know, it'd be nice if they were just blessed and we could move on from there. But they are blessed in order to be a blessing. They're supposed to then go forward, go out, go forth, and make that bigger. So if we take that whole promise with Abraham and Sarah, right, there's the two of them, and then there's Isaac, and then there's almost not Isaac, and then there's Isaac again. And then, if you remember the old song, Father Abraham had many sons, right? And the family tree explodes as we go down the generations. How much blessing can that be if we're doing it? This is a sermon we don't want to hear because Jesus doesn't say, blessed are the people who are comfortable on their couch. Blessed are the people who have worn their seat in the pew into the shape of their backside. Blessed are the people who tithe. Blessed are the people who, well, grandma went to church. Isn't that good enough? It doesn't say blessed are the people who are good at their jobs. It doesn't say blessed are the people who are old or blessed who are the people who are young. It doesn't say anything that doesn't have a string attached to it. I'm not sure this is the sermon I would come to for comfort. Blessed are, and the subtext is, the people who need blessing. It's a really big deal. Because that's the people who are showing up on the mountain on that day, right? We have done a lot of mourning in the last couple years in this church. How much do we need to be comforted because we know what it is to mourn? That until you mourn, you don't know what it is you need. Is there anything more dangerous to get between than a mother who thinks her child has been wronged? You want to get between Mama Bear and the cub? I don't want to get between Mama Bear and the cub. That is the text of hunger and thirst for righteousness at its very best. But you have to see people who matter to you get hurt. It all comes with strings attached. All of these blessings. And they ask us to do exactly what Jesus is doing and is going to do. Go into harm's way for our neighbor. Hurt for our neighbor. Love our neighbor. Even when they're a little bit unlovable. These blessings aren't free for the taking. They come with a huge challenge for us. None of you raised your hands that you wanted to be blessed are those who mourn, for you will be comforted. These aren't blessings we want. These are blessings for what the world needs. And that is the great void Jesus Christ comes to fill. And it's the great void Jesus Christ sends those who bear his name out into the world to fill. To God alone be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen. Friends, I'm going to invite you to join with me as we say what it is that we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, let us respond to what God is doing in us and through us and around us. Let us give our tithes and offerings. If our ushers will come forward. May be seated. Friends, we gather not just our tithes and offerings before God, but the gifts of our whole lives, our hopes, our dreams, our fear, our wonder, and our awe. The prayer sheet today is the pink sheet found in your bulletin. I don't have the beautiful artwork book today from the Messengers class. We were down a Sunday school teacher, and so I don't have a prayer book today from them. Let me just start that Jean Harvey's family, her daughter and son-in-law and granddaughter, just wanted to say thank you for all the ways in which we cared for Jean in the last 2 weeks of her life, for sitting with her, for not letting her be alone, for scones and soup and all sorts of other things that showed up, and just the care and the prayers of the congregation towards that family. They headed back to Kenosha to 50 degrees below zero wind chills yesterday. I think they should have extended their visit at least until like Tuesday or Wednesday when it gets down to zero here. But they needed to head back and get back to work and those sorts of things. But they do very much appreciate the ministry of this congregation. What else do we need to be in prayer about this morning?
last Sunday, I would have asked for a prayer of help for my sister, who was supposed to undergo hip surgery on Tuesday. And since we did not meet, and she fortunately went through the hip surgery, so it was a prayer of thankfulness that she's recovering fine at home.
Just ask that God be with everyone that is going to be facing this Arctic blast that's coming. Those of us with heat and shelter, it's going to be rough enough, but let's keep all those that have none of that in mind. And if you have a spare blanket or a can of soup or whatever, you know what to do. Oh, and Liberty House is experiencing the crud. There's a lot of sick people there. Susan just got it this week, so I asked for prayers of wellness.
Are there other joys or concerns this morning? Then will you pray with me? God, we come to you this day with our gifts, our hopes, our dreams, our fear, our joy, all intact and brought forward to you. We ask that you would bless our whole lives to do what you will with them, to make them a blessing. We come to you this day with grief and loss. We come to you with uncertainty. We come to you with thankfulness. God, we ask you to be with your people. Here, as temperatures get colder, as people look for warm places and shelter and nourishment, we ask you to also help us to be generous with our neighbors who need that warmth and that shelter. We ask you to be with those who grieve and mourn, those who now begin the next stage of their lives, those who now pick up the pieces of lives and go through things, and those who start again. God, you do wonderful and amazing things. As we journey into this next week, into the extravagance of Super Bowls and football, remind us of the shadow side to all of that light and sound and fury. Remind us that that is when people are trafficked the most in this country. Remind us that in the middle of all of that consumption, there are those who do not have enough. Remind us, O God, that what you have given us is to be used for the healing of the nations, and that we are indeed our brother's keepers. Lord, hear us as we pray this day in the way that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.